Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT. Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, this is a little bonus episode for you. I wanted to give you some heads up beforehand. This is about an hour-long conversation with a friend of mine who was a former on-air personality in Louisville, Scott Clark. Very funny guy, but we spend this entire hour basically talking about music. So if you're not into the music talk, it might not be an episode you want to hear. We do talk a little bit of paranormal, but it's very little and it's somewhere in the middle. But we actually had a lot of fun on this, and I think it's a fun talk. If you're a music fan, you will probably enjoy it. There's some cursing and stuff in here, so something to be aware of. But overall, like I said, if you're a music fan, you might enjoy it. But if not, feel free to skip it because it's not our typical paranormal show. This came about kind of by accident, and he just hit me up the other night as we were talking about music on the computer, and he said, hey, let's just record. I'm in a place where I can record, and we just did it. So, like I said, it was very last second. Wasn't something we planned on doing, but I thought it was fun, so I thought you guys might get a kick out of it.
My man, what's happening?
What's going on, brother?
Man, you've really decorated the back of your room a little bit. How much did that cost?
Dude, you'd be surprised how much that's given to us.
Yeah, you're kind of popular.
Up there in the back, over my shoulder, over that curtain, that's an actual Ozzy Osbourne Ouija board that was given away back when he was doing his concerts.
I would never have a Ouija board in my house.
But it's never been opened. That thing's worth $200 on eBay right now.
I don't doubt that at all, but I would never have one in my house. Fuck no. Can I cuss on your podcast?
I don't care. And then right next to it is an actual blown-up version of the tickets that they were giving out with Ozzy's actual autograph on it. So it's not a fake autograph.
Did I ever tell you about the time I met Zach Wilde?
No.
And you are aware of who Black Frank is, Frank Webb.
Of course.
I just wanted to make sure. So we go, it's Ozfest. And so obviously Zach plays with Ozzy. And then he has, what's the name of his other band? Shit.
Oh,
I can't believe I can't think of it.
I drew a blank as soon as you said
it. It's okay. So he goes to the other, the backstage at Ozfest and plays with him. And so the record rep, who I've known for years, says, hey, Zach, this is Scott Clark. He plays your songs on the radio. And I kid you, what is it? Man, it's going to drive me nuts. I know you're looking it up right now. That's okay.
Black Label Society.
Thank you. Because for some reason, bikers love that band. I don't know if it's because of Zach Wilde and his beard. But I walk up to him. Can you see me okay? This light is not doing me now.
I can see you fine. Trust me, it's better. It's better like this.
Hey, man, what kind of bullshit is that? So the record rep takes me up, says, hey, this is Scott Clark. And he puts out his hand, and I have never had someone grab my hand so hard and so intently in my life and look me directly in the eye. And he's like shaking my hand. I'm going to draw this light in the back. He's shaking my hand so hard and for so long that Black Frank, who's with me at this concert, is like, oh shit. And the record rep is like, oh shit. He's like, it's okay. I don't know what he was on at the time, but I've never had someone shake my hand and just like go. I was freaked out. I was like, oh shit. I love the way you do your the G chord. I'm just trying to get him to let go of my hand. He scared the shit out of me. And he's not a small man. You know why he has that beard?
No, I'm assuming some kind of scars.
No, Sharon Osbourne said, you can't be in this band if you have a beard. He's like, fuck you, fire me. That is an absolute true story.
It's amazing how much she tries to control every aspect.
If Ozzy Osbourne was your husband, wouldn't you try to control every aspect?
Well, to a certain extent, but I don't think beards are never. I don't really see how beards are going to get Ozzy in too much trouble.
Yeah, I don't know. It might be a British thing. I have no idea, but that is the true story. He was like, oh, yeah, I can't grow a beard? Fire me. I'm playing all of Randy Rhoads' stuff. I replaced Jakey Lee. I'm your guy. Now, I will say that he overplays quite a lot. I don't know. Do you play guitar?
I play, but I don't play enough to critique anybody. Trust me.
He has a way of overplaying. And it's like when I call lead singer itis, like Axl Rose starts going, ah, 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 ah. And everybody, when they get their instrument correct, they start overplaying because they get so good at it that they want to let everyone know they got good at it. I never did that.
I don't know if you heard this or not, but Lindsey Buckingham actually had that criticism about Eddie Van Halen.
Yes, he overplayed too.
But he said, you know, Lindsey said that he thinks as a guitarist, you just you add to the songs, you embellish the songs a little bit, but it should come natural and organic, and you don't overplay the songs, which is what he thought Eddie Van Halen did.
Ego. It's about ego. When somebody gets good, and listen, I'm not going to make fun of Shane Eisenberg. I don't know if you know Shane. He's in the Louisville Crashes, the local band here in Louisville. I met that guy in high school. He is amazing. He can play anything you want. And it used to drive me insane at 17 years old. But he doesn't. He knows how good he is. And he just plays what's supposed to be played. And sometimes that's what you're supposed to do, is play what you're supposed to play. When you start overplaying or over-singing or over any, I mean, other than bass players and drummers, I'll let drummers and bass players off the hook on this. It's always guitar players and singers that do this shit, and it drives me insane. And I'll let them do it, but Shane Eisenberg from the Louisville Crashers down here in Louisville, I went to high school with him. He had the skinniest legs I've ever seen in my life in high school. I was like, oh my God, do you have atrophy?
But so let me ask your opinion then. So since we're talking about guitarists and stuff like that,
we've been talking about music on Facebook all night. Go ahead.
Let's talk about Jimmy Page. Now, okay. Session wise, I don't know if there's anybody any better than Jimmy Page. When it comes to studio work, he is the man. But he tends to get really sloppy when he's playing live. And a lot of the live stuff, you know, we just went and saw Jason Bonham's band. And the thing about that, I love Zeppelin. They're top three band for me, period.
100%.
Can't stand Zeppelin live. It's the I don't want to hear 27 minutes of Dazed and Confused. I don't want to hear, you know, I hate when bands stretch a 5-minute song.
What are you, Widespread Panic? Are you Fish? Yeah.
So I can't stand that. And you know, you will hear Jimmy Page do some songs live, like Song Remains the Same. And I understand some of this stuff's hard to do live.
What is and what should ever be, that could go for 40 minutes.
Right. But, you know, when you do something like the beginning of the Song Remains the Same, the actual song, it's hard to even tell that's what that. But it's hard to even tell that's what that song is at the beginning, because it just, Jimmy don't play it the same live, you know, and you know, Stairway's a little bit different when he does it live. And I'm not talking about the instrumental part. That's a little bit off too. But like you go watch Jason Bonham's band, they play the stuff just like the studio. And man, I've never been so impressed. I say this in all criticism, you know, aside.
I'd rather see them than Zeppelin. I already know what you're going to say. Yeah, I knew what you're going to say. And listen, first of all, I just want to say this on record, and I want to go turn on this.
Actually, it does. I felt like you just had a glow like an angel, and I thought that
I'm at the farm instead of my regular studio, so it's a little bit different. But the microphone is still really good. I can't agree with you more about Led Zeppelin and Jimmy Page. Him and John Paul Jones were on so many studio musicians in so many albums. If you go back and look, Yardbirds, I mean, we can talk about a million things. They were on so many albums. People don't even know how many albums there were on. But when I listen to Led Zeppelin live, I'm like, damn, dude, lay off the drugs. And listen, I like me some drugs occasionally if they're free. As long as you don't get too high and you can still play, have a good time. But when I listen to Led Zeppelin live, I'm like, damn, he is super sloppy. What? This is Jimmy Page. How is he so? And everybody loves the guy and loves all. I mean, Song Remains the Same? Is that the name of the live record?
That's the
video
from Madison Square Garden. Yeah.
Yeah. It's awful. I mean, I'm not going to say Bonham. Certainly I can say JPJ, which is my favorite bass player of all time. And I don't want to say Plant, but I mean, you think about this, Jimmy Page had a 16-year-old locked up in his hotel room during that show. You know that story, right?
I do know that story.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. She's 16, man. You're 26. What? Don't let her leave.
It was a different time, Scott. It was a different time.
I don't agree with that statement. I don't agree with that statement. Yeah, it was 25 years ago.
I didn't say it was right. Okay, I didn't say it was right. I just said it was a different time.
How about this? People thought differently back then.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. You know, people don't even have a clue what the hell we're doing here. You know, so let me.
I don't care what they don't have a clue about.
So I'm talking to Scott. Scott's been on our show a couple of times, yes. And he's a former DJ.
Not a DJ. DJs do wedding. I was an on-air personality.
My bad.
That's right. You know, I hate that shit.
And he's also a musician, can play a couple of different instruments. Very talented when his fingers aren't hands not smashed.
When I have thumbs. You pissed me off tonight about what you were saying. And go ahead and say what you're, it's your show. I'm going to let you say what you're going to say.
No, I was going to say, so you know, Scott had a podcast, and apparently I didn't realize this. You're not doing the podcast anymore.
We're not.
He's like, hey, I'm at a place where I actually have internet. Let's just do some podcasting. So here we are.
Yes.
Scott Clark from Louisville. And
thank you. And Jerry Polly, my friend from Louisville. You're living in Louisville, right?
No, I'm Lexington.
Oh, you're Lexington. Damn, a UK fan.
I'm from Louisville, but living in Lexington now.
Yeah. But you said, because I'm going to fuck with you right now, man. And it pissed me off. And this is how this whole thing started. You said the guy Art Alexius, I don't even know how to pronounce that correctly.
Alex Akis.
And he from what band?
Everclear.
And you said he was the top three person.
I said he was in my top five favorite songwriters of all time.
Fuck you. I mean, come on, man. He wrote the same three songs over and over again. And he had one hit. Now, listen, I've met the guy. I've interviewed him. Very nice guy. I'm not going to take anything. Man, do your thing. Being you has gotten you this far. Be you. But, man, I am actually, because I've known you for a while, I'm upset that you think that he should be in your top five. Because I literally was like, Paige, Plant, Paul Stanley, you didn't like that. I was like, okay, how about Gene? How about Elton John and Bernie? How is he in your top three? I just don't listen. Be you.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You. And look, and the same way with Ed Kowalczyk from Live. There's a lot of people out there who
great man. Never, I'll tell you a story about them.
But there's a lot of people out there who've never even heard of Live. You know,
they call them Live.
Newer kids. You know, they don't understand, or they'll hear a song and, oh, I didn't realize who it was. But when it comes to certain people, Ed Kowalczyk, for example.
Okay.
I think his songwriting is very deep. He talks about, you know, things that just a lot of people don't talk about, like Greek mythology type stuff. All that stuff. Now, when it comes to art, Alex Akis, you know, I grew up very poor.
Me too.
And a lot of the stuff that he talked about in the songs, even if it didn't resonate with me, like Father of Mine, which you say he had one hit, way more than one hit, but okay. We'll agree to disagree on how many hits he had. But so you take Father of Mine. That's a song, even though I had a father growing up, I had a good dad. But when I listen to that song, he is able to really put forth the emotions to where I can be like, damn, I feel like I know what it's like to not grow up with a dad, or I feel like that. And he's done that with several songs. And with like, I Will Buy You a New Life. When you start talking about, wanting to buy somebody, fantasizing about being able to just have enough money to buy somebody that house and all that, we've all been there. So he was talking about things in a lot of his songs that I felt like was people didn't talk about those things in songs. There wasn't a lot of people talking about, you know, being poor and doing this and struggling financially. You never had the joy of a welfare Christmas. Who sings about stuff like that? That stuff all hit home to me. And like I said, if you're not an Everclear fan and you just hear the Santa Monica and stuff on the radio, you know, that's all you're going to know. But for me, I could rattle off 15 songs that to me are every bit as good as the ones that were hits. You know, that are different styles. Yeah, they had a sound like a lot of bands do, but I felt like they have a ton of songs that I just think are great songs. But all you right. wouldn't know it if you're not a fan. And I don't disparage somebody for
that. And I'll tell you this. This is what's great about having a podcast or having a conversation. Forget the podcast. It's what's good about us being friends. I never thought about it that way. I played two of those songs in a band, never once thought about the lyrics. I was just playing a song, but it's good to have a friend like you where I go, all right, I grew up poor. My mom left at 15. My dad left at 17, but I had my dad for those 2 years and he paid and he didn't really take care of us. My sister and I took care of him, but to hear you say that, it makes me want to go back and listen to those lyrics. I have never thought of that in my life.
I don't know if you know this or not, but the song Father of Mine.
I know the song.
Well, there was actually a national group. It was a Deadbeat Fathers group that actually adopted that as their song. And it was played on national commercials because it was all about a deadbeat dad.
Hang on a second. So you're telling me there's a national group for deadbeat dads?
Well, not.
I mean, maybe like, anti.
Well, that's what I mean. Dads. It's anti-deadbeat.
I know.
Dads.
I'm just kidding. Come on. I'm a comedian too.
Okay. Well, that's up for debate. But go ahead.
Yeah, comedian. I've never. That's the first time I've ever said I'm a comedian. I'm an entertainer who does comedy or tries to do comedy. That is absolutely true. However, I will go back. Just because of this conversation, just like you, I mean, that's what's good about having these kind of conversations. I would have never have thought about Everclear or those songs. And I played all three of those songs in a cover band for 20 years. They're the same three songs, they're the same three chords, but you're saying that they had lyrics that meant something to you.
Yes. And I like the musical part of it, but the lyrics are what did it for me. And when I think songwriting, more times than not, I'm thinking from a lyrical standpoint.
Yeah, and from a musician standpoint, I'm like, they're all the same three songs. They're all suck back, but people like to hear them. I had no idea. I'm going to go back and listen to those lyrics, or at least read them.
And I'm gonna do this for you. I'm okay. Gonna send you a list of about five or six songs that you may not know. That I bet if you go listen to them, you say, "Okay, this isn't the same song." And you know, like So Much for the Afterglow. That's a completely different song. Then you know, it's not written the same way. It's got a different sound. Now that's one that I like just because of the music. The lyrics doesn't do anything for me on those particular songs.
That's on me.
You know.
The ones that made it
driving soccer mom.
And don't forget that I was on the radio, so I only heard those three, and they all sound, as a musician, they sound the exact same to me. And I'm like, they're just writing the same damn song. But now, because I got a friend like you, I'm going to go back and listen. And you know, and if a lyric means something to you, I mean, shit, I listened to a song today that I actually, I'm not going to say I got this guy signed or helped, but I went down and saw him in Nashville. I got to remember his damn name. The name of the song is Dark Hotel. It makes me cry every time I hear it. And so that means so much to me, and it means a little bit in my life. And so you hear a song that means something in your life, and it makes you emotional, whatever way. So, I mean, I think people should have the, I mean, Everclear was not the band that I thought was going to do this to me, but now I'm going to go back and listen to it. But I mean, everyone's allowed to have their emotional moment with the song. You got to, I mean, Tiny Dancer, it makes me cry almost every time I hear it. And I still hear Tony Danza.
And see, like, I love that song. I don't have an emotional connection to it. I was excited to hear Elton sing it live and that type of thing. That would have been on my list of top 10 songs to definitely hear him do live, but it doesn't have an emotional pull to me. But overall, I think Elton and Bernie other than Lennon McCartney, I think they were the best songwriting tandem ever.
100%. And I'm getting ready to fuck you up right now.
Go ahead.
So I go to Las Vegas for the Radio Music Awards. Before it was iHeart Radio Music Awards. This was still, it was Clear Channel, but it was still called the Radio Music Awards. I'm at what is now the, I don't know what fucking hotel that is. It doesn't matter. It was at a hotel in Vegas. I'm supposed to go with my boss, who's passed away now, so I can tell the story, Michael Lee. I go to my hotel in Vegas. What was it called? It doesn't matter. It's the big, it doesn't matter. It should matter, but it doesn't. So I go to my hotel, I walk, and I'm calling my boss, who's supposed to be going on this flight with me. And I'm his assistant, basically. And I'm going, dude, we got the flight. We're leaving in 25 minutes. Where the fuck are you? But what's going on, man? And I go back and forth. I never get a phone call back. So I end up going to this hotel in Vegas for the Radio Music Awards by myself. I fly down there, I get a cab, I'm paying, and I don't even have an expense report. So I paid for all this shit, and I go to the hotel, and I walk in, and the lady goes, "Are you Mr. Clark?" And I'm scared to death, go, "Yes." And I said, "Yeah." And she's like, "Well, somehow you got upgraded to a suite." I'm like, "Okay." And imagine, keep in mind, my boss that's supposed to be with me isn't there. I'm by myself, and I'm probably 5 years into the radio gig. So I go to my hotel room. I go upstairs like, oh, shit, this is a Vegas suite. I walk in. There is a ball of cocaine the size of a baseball and six tickets to see Elton John for his soft opening at Caesars next door the next night. So let's just say I was very good friends with a lot of people that weekend. John Waite is one of them. We spent 3 days together, me and John Waite and his assistant. Crossfade, Nikki Sixx. Nikki Sixx didn't do any drugs. I want to be honest about that. But I was very good friends with a lot of people, and I got to see his soft opening, his very first night when he did his, what do they call that when you do a thing at a hotel?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's a thing where he was just doing it there.
Residency.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting at a table less than 100 feet from Elton John. I walk in the place, and what's his face from Train?
Lead singer? I can't think of his name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something?
Yeah, Pat. He walks out, and I'm just being nice. I open the door, and he's like, oh, thanks, man. I was like, I opened it for your wife, not you, man. I was trying to be funny. I'm glad he didn't punch me in the face. I walk in the door, and there's Jose Canseco. And I'm like, come on, man, do the Bash Brothers. He's like, man, I can't. If I do it with you, I got to do it. I was like, hey, man, just do it low. We won't tell anybody. Bang. So we did the Bash Brothers. And then I run into John Waite. And he's like, hey, man, you want to go? You have a cigarette? I'm like, yes. He didn't say cigarette. He said the English word for it. And I was like, yeah, let's go smoke. So I smoked with John Waite. And I come back in, and there's Nickelback. And I've interviewed them twice already. Obviously, I'm just a stupid radio guy, so they don't know me. But I walk up and I start patting them on the hips. And they're like, what the fuck are you doing, man? I'm like, I'm trying to find the chart that you have to write all these killer lead songs and hits. And now everyone shits on Nickelback. Nickelback's a great fucking band. I don't care what you say. And they're the nicest guys in the world.
Yeah, Chad Kroeger seems to be a very good guy.
Yep, Chad and Ryan and the drummer that was in, he was in Three Doors Down before he left there. He left to join Nickelback, and then Chad's brother is the bass player. And I said a thing on Twitter the other day because I was tired of people shitting on Nickelback. And I was like, I love this. I know these guys. I did this. I did this. And I love everybody except for Chad's brother, the bass player. And they responded. Now let's talk about Miles Teller. I'm going to make this happen. I can't believe how many people don't know who Miles Teller is.
Well, let me be honest with you. I didn't until not by name. Once I saw him, I knew who he was. But check this out. But see, I haven't seen the new Top Gun. I haven't seen that yet. So this is the funny story. So I'm sitting here earlier. My son just got back from San Diego. He's literally back today. We're getting ready to record. This is like 3 hours ago.
Okay.
And he calls, FaceTimes my wife. And he's talking about all this stuff. And he's like, hey, have you seen the new Top Gun? And I'm sitting right beside her. I said, hey, we're going to have Miles Teller on the show. And they're like, get the fuck out. There is no way. And Tracy knows nothing about Tracy don't even know that we've had the conversation. And she's like, who's that? And him and his wife are like going crazy. Like, there's no way.
Oh, it's going to happen. The
funniest coincidence that 100%. They brought that up literally after I talked to you.
Yeah, it's I am not allowed, but in the state of Indiana, ATC standards, I am not allowed to promote one product over another. But let's just say, I already said hashtag long drink on our email or our text. He owns part of that company. And funny enough, so does my company. And so I talked to the rep today that just got out of skin cancer surgery. She's doing fine. She's all right. But she was like, can you get Miles on some podcasts? I'm like, yeah. So I literally reached out to you, Adam Carolla, Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer. I reached out to Ryan Sickler. I reached out to Mark Maron.
Dude, first of all, the fact that you mentioned us along with those shows is amazing.
You've got listeners, buddy.
I know, but that's, we don't have Mark Maron listeners. We don't have
Kentucky and Indiana listeners, buddy.
Fair enough.
That's why I got you in there. And she said, whatever. I mean, listen, she's saying whatever, and she just got out of surgery, so it might all be bullshit, but
she might be under anesthesia.
She could be. No, I talked to her today. She's fine. But the fact that I was like, that's what I mean, you saw my tweet. I was like, this is going to sound weird, but I have Miles Teller and I'm pretty sure I can get him on your podcast. And that's all that, because she called me today and said, they're trying to charge us $5,000 for a campaign on any radio station in the country. And I'm like, and I'm a radio guy. I did a radio spot today for free for a friend of mine. You know, Miles. Not Miles. I'm sorry. Dugan. I just did a radio spot for New Albany. I like hearing myself on the radio. How about that? I still like every now and then when I actually use the radio to hear myself on the radio. So I basically said, $5,000? Don't do that. You should spend it all on podcasts and social media. I'm telling you, that's where I haven't listened to radio in 7 years unless I'm on the radio and I want to hear myself. And she laughed at that and she's like, all right, well, what do you know about podcasts? And I'm like, a little bit. I know a few people. So I hit the top four, I hit my favorite one, and I hit you. Because I know that you are, and she is the Indiana and Illinois rep and Kentucky rep. And that's why I hit you up. Because, I mean, could you imagine if I get you, Miles Teller, on your podcast?
Dude.
And I told her, I was like, you better have a goddamn good ghost joke. All right, let me ask you this. I know it's your podcast, but I love ghost stories and shit. You know how much I love that. And I've got one for you, too. What's your latest ghost story?
I don't know that I've got a latest. I got one that I'll tell you that has happened since we've last talked.
Okay.
But, you know, we've got, you know, the bourbon barrel lids that people mm-hmm. get and decorate.
Yep.
We've got one of those. Somebody decorated it up. They put our logo on it and all that. And they gave it to us last year for our 6th anniversary.
That's awesome.
I keep it.
But it's not on your back wall.
It's over here. It's actually sitting beside me.
Okay.
Because I didn't have room to hang it up. So I put it on the floor.
Ghost story. And you just said the word hang. Okay, go ahead.
Well, anyways, I've got this this door that I have in here. It will shut and latch, but it won't completely latch. So if somebody from the outside can push on it a little bit and it'll come open, you know what I'm saying? So there's no lock in it. If I don't, if I've got an important guest on, such as yourself, I try to shut the door because if I don't, the cat will inevitably come in here and jump up on the laptop, which fucking I think happened pussy. The last time that we were together.
So, maybe that was another guess. It was more important.
Whatever. So I shut the door and I moved this thing over, this lid, and I put it up against the door. And then I shook it a couple of times to make sure that the cat couldn't push the door open. Okay.
All right.
These things, of course, they're kind of a little ragged around the ends. They're a little rough. And we've got carpet in this room. So it's, okay. You know, it's not going anywhere. I get through recording and I can't see the door from where I'm at unless I physically turn. So okay. When I'm recording, I don't see it. We get through with my guest. I look over and the door's open. Cat never came in. The door's open and that round thing, that lid, is now about 2 feet over from where it originally was. Now, when I picked it up, it was sitting, it's got our logo on it. And it was straight up and down. I put it over there straight up and down. If it would have rolled away, which was my first instinct, if I would have seen it, if it would have rolled away where it was, it didn't roll enough to be back straight up. It would have been on its side or something. So I figured, okay, Tracy probably opened the door, didn't realize I was doing an interview.
Wait, we're blaming Tracy now?
Well, I'm looking for a logical explanation.
Okay.
And when I said, hey, did you come up there doing an interview? She said, no, I never came up there. So somehow or another, and we did made a little video right afterwards where I actually panned over and showed how the thing was, showed that it couldn't roll, even with me shaking the door.
Yep, you got to make sure it's logic.
So that's probably the latest thing. We've had tons of stuff happen in this house, and you know, it's just that's just one of the latest. And then our dog passed away a couple months ago. It's been devastating. I'm sorry, to
man.
Us.
That's man. I think about that shit every day. I got two my puppies. I love them, and they're only 6 years old. I think about that shit all the time. Are you doing okay?
We started thinking about that when he was like 5 or 6, because you're so attached that day is going to come.
And, yes.
Yeah. So, but we've got a friend of ours that lives in Lexington. Her name's Carrie Kennedy. She's a pet psychic. And I know that sounds like BS.
No, I believe in all this shit.
She has proven to me time and time again that she knows things that she shouldn't know. And
would like what?
Well, I'm getting ready to get to that. Well, see, everybody else has heard this already, but because we played the episode. But the night before we were to meet with her, actually, we're meeting her for lunch tomorrow. But the night before, I had a friend come over to the house. She wanted to see the studio. So I brought her up. And at the top of our steps, there is a little toy banana. It's made out of like fabric. It's not plastic. And I told her, I said, we don't have the fortitude to pick it up. We just leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's out of the way. Nobody's going to fall on it or anything. But it's, So the next day we're talking to her and she says, he's telling me about a banana. Did you feed him bananas or is there a banana toy? Now, who would have guessed a banana toy? But, you know, and we broke down. Me and my wife were both on the call.
I guarantee you, man, I'm not joking that this is so weird that we're talking about this. I literally fed my dogs bananas tonight. I'm making sure my wife's not around. I can't quit thinking about them passing away at some point. That's why I try to give them so much love. And then a buddy of mine named Miles Amos and I wrote a song 25 years ago called One Foot on the Banana Peel and One Foot in the Grave. And I took him a picture and sent it to him tonight. How weird. Tell me that's not cosmic of some way.
Yeah, that's kind of strange.
And then it's funny that I look at behind your ugly bald head. I've got a picture of me on that street.
Not you.
No, it's not me. Not those four people, obviously. I'm not that talented. But I have a picture of the Abbey Road. I went there and had a video. I texted my sister-in-law in Texas and had her take a picture of the video screen of us walking across that road. So I love really Abbey cool. Road. And then here's one more thing about barrelheads. My cousin from Cincinnati, she's in Cincinnati. It's Mitchell, North Mitchell, whatever it is. It's between Lexington and Cincinnati. She called me around Christmas time and said, Fort Mitchell, thank you. She called me and said, hey, can you get me barrelheads? I mean, what I do for a living, my day job. It's like,
right.
The ones I get are kind of expensive, but I can hook you up with this cooperage, which is who makes barrels, in Charlestown, on your way up to Madison. And I was like, but I've got an Elijah Craig barrel right here. Barrel head. If you want it and you want to make furniture and make some, I'll give it to you. She's like, well, you don't want to get rid of that. That's your uncle. I'm like, excuse me? We had shared our DNA back and forth. And he's like, yeah, that's your sixth great uncle. I'm like, excuse me? So my favorite bourbon, and I've been selling this for 15 years. He's my sixth great uncle. She's like, so every time I go to a bar, I just go, yeah, I'll take my uncle. I mean, it seems like a dick move, but it's still funny to me. And I don't give a shit if you think I'm a dick.
Yeah, that goes without saying.
And so I'm really, I don't have any weird, I tell you, here's the only ghost story that I have, because I know your podcast is about that, and I like to be involved in that. You know how much I believe in that. I said, where you're looking at me, I'm at the farmhouse. And I think I told you about, maybe or not, if I'll tell you again, if I didn't, I heard a noise here one time. It was a woman screaming. And I went after it. I thought it was my mother-in-law. I was terrified. I thought my mother-in-law was hurt or fallen down or, you know, medical alert. I didn't know. I went run. She wasn't even in here. They weren't even here. So I heard a noise. And it was a woman screaming. And her mom lived here. Her dad had a stroke here. Her father-in-law did not die. No one's died in this house, but they're here. And when I started living up here, you know, 2 days a week. I'm flipping this house. I take care of the in-laws. I take care of everything. And I literally, and my wife's in the background right now. You can see her. She's like, oh my God, I'm in the background. And I said, guys, I don't want to hear this shit anymore. I don't want to be scared to be in this house. If you do this again, I'm never coming back and I'm never helping any of them. And I've never heard a word since. And I love all of them. And I love my in-laws. I love my family. But it was weird that I said, do this again. I ain't coming back. And I've never it's heard a word since.
How many times you can have a conversation like that and stuff just stops.
Done. I've never heard a word that, since.
I used to do that in a house that I grew up in. I mean, it was obviously haunted, and we were hearing voices through the ductwork, and Surely. It got to the point where at first you were scared, and then it got to the point to where it's like, I can just remember one time coming and sitting on my bed and just saying, it's not today. Today is not the day. You know, any other time, fine, but, you know, not today. And it just stopped.
And it would
happen again, but, you know.
Now, listen, I can't say this to my in-laws, certainly my grandfather and great-grandfather-in-law. I can't say go fuck yourself. But at this point in my life, I can go to, if I hear a ghost, I'm like, go fuck yourself, man. You want me here? Fuck off. Otherwise, fuck you. What are you going to do to me? Stab me? Shoot me? Not me, buddy. I'm here to help. And if you don't want my help, I'll leave. I'll never come back. I'm helping your family. And that's literally the reason I built my own house. I told my wife this. I was like, let's find this property. I want to build my own house on this property, and I'm going to build it myself. She's like, what? I'm like, I don't want no ghosts up in that motherfucker. I was like, I lived in 17 haunted houses. I don't want to deal with that shit anymore. And if this is my house, I own this property. I own this house. I built this house. I can literally talk to a ghost and go, no, don't press me, buddy.
Sometimes it's the land that's haunted, though.
That's why I bought the land that I bought. It was a horse farm. And I keep the fence, and I make sure the fence is maintained. And I hear horses every now and then. I'm not scared of a horse unless I'm trying to ride it.
All right. So look, I talk ghost stuff all the time.
I love it.
I want to switch stuff. Okay. I want to talk more about music because I don't get to talk music all the time.
I got all your texts right here.
All right. So, first of all, as a cover band,
yep.
Tell me two or three of your favorite songs to always play. What are three or four that you just never get tired of?
It's the easiest question in the world. Rage Against the Machine. Bomb track. The second one is the weirdest song that you wouldn't think of. I gotta fucking look it up because I'm got a buzz. It's called In the Meantime. And she was married. Goldie Hawn's daughter was married to the guy for a while.
Oh, for the Chris from the Black Crowes?
No, I actually met those guys one time. And I'm watching Almost Famous in my bed right now. It's Space Hog, In the Meantime. Okay. And then Rage Against the Machine, bomb track. You can find this on... I don't think you find the meantime, but you can certainly. Jimmy Vallandigham, I mean, famous Louisville musician. If you don't know who that is, look him up. He did a video of us on Derby Day, like 6-7 years ago, of us doing bomb track. And it exploded on video. It's a great video. And I look really good in it. The whole band looks good in it. But I like, to, man, you cut off it. My solo, man. They did cut off my solo. But that's all right. So keep going.
All right. Out of every famous musician that you've met, were there any of them that were exceptional jerks?
That's the easiest question ever. Tool.
Tool or tools?
Tool. their entire band, their management, their tour manager. They were the biggest dicks I've ever met in my life. And I've met everyone. They were, I don't know why. They were just dicks. They kicked me out twice. And I was like, you can kick me out again. Even, and it makes my in-laws can't hear me. Even though I'm the guy that brought the weed for Tricky, that's your opening act. And I got back in. And I was like, I'm just going to go around and see the guy that I know from Freedom Hall. It's Freedom Hall. That's going to let me back in because you can't kick me out, bro. I walked back in and there, I was standing there with the guy. He was literally getting ready to kick me out again. It's like, is someone here named Scott Clark? I was like, that's me, bro. It's like, well, Tricky would like to see him. And the guy, the tour manager that kicked me out, was like, fuck, I can't beat this. I was like, no, you can't. Tool, Maynard in particular, his guitar player in particular, not Dana, the drummer. Drummer was cool. And the bass player really had nothing to do with it. But man, Maynard, James Keenan, dick. And his tour manager's a bigger dick. Who's a mean?
And let's maybe not go mean, but maybe somebody that was just so full of themselves that, you know, you hear stories about, well, you can't look this person in the eyes, or you can't. I mean, do you have any encounters like that with bands that you were just like, they're just too full of themselves?
The only, listen, I'm not going to say he's full of himself because we had a great time. And to answer your question originally, no, most people, they know who they are. They realized I was a musician. I'm not just some radio dumbass. They were always generally nice. And when I would say shit to them that they like, oh shit, this guy knows what's going on. They were always nice to me. Actually, I do. I was getting, here's two stories. I said to Godsmack, that's his name.
I can't think of his name, but I know who you're talking about.
I shouldn't have said this, and this is on me. And I was like, hey, the only shorter guy in the business than me. He was not happy with that. And that's okay. But I'll tell you a story where the only one, and I was like, and when I said this, I'm like, I'm going to tell the story in chronological order. So I'm interviewing Dave Draymond from Disturbed on the air live with his fiance sitting next to him. And Chad Kroeger, of all people, from Nickelback said, you got to ask this question. I was like, okay. And so I did, you know, the regular stuff you're supposed to do on radio. Here we are this weekend. I love your guitar player. Who writes the song? Who does the beats? And he's being really nice. I was like, now listen, I got to get down to a little solid thing here real quick. And I was like, I've met a lot of your friends from the, what was the tour? It wasn't, God, man, my fucking COVID brain.
I know what you're talking about.
Too, oh, it's Ozfest. It was Ozfest.
Okay.
It was
Ozfest. I was going to say, because at one point it was Godsmack, Nickelback, and I think Bush.
I like the word Bush. But no, they were on the same tour together. And I think it was Ozfest. And I was told to ask this question from Chad Kroeger from Nickelback. And he was like, he won an award for the smelliest dick and the biggest whore on tour. So here I am, young radio guy, interviewing Dave Draymond from Disturbed. And I looked at his girlfriend, and before I said anything, I was like, how long you guys been together? He was like, oh, a year. And I'm like, okay. So this was 2 years ago. And I was like, hey, man. What trophy did you win for having the smelliest dick and the biggest whore on the Ozfest tour? And he slammed the fucking microphone down, walked out, and then looked at Black Frank that we just talked about. Frank, it doesn't matter. Walked out and was like, I don't know who the fuck that guy is, but he can go fuck himself. And I'm like, oh my God. I just pissed off everybody. And then my boss calls me and I'm like, oh shit. Yeah, boss. And he was like, that was the best interview ever. He's like, whatever happens, that was some fucking great. And then I get a call from Jillian's, Bobby down there and Eric that ran Jillian's for that concert. And I set up this whole concert. And they come, he goes, your backstage pass is here. But the band has told us if you come down here, they're going to cancel the show. I'm like, oh. And I was terrified. So I called my boss back and he goes, best interview ever. And then the guy, the promoter called me and goes, your backstage pass will be here next year. And I want you to keep it forever. And it is sitting in my office right now. I got kicked out of my own concert for asking a legitimate question and vetting it with his girlfriend before I did it.
I loved when Jillian had concerts back in the day when they were set up. That's actually the first time I saw Everclear live was at Jillian's.
Oh, back to Everclear.
Everything goes full circle. Well, American Hi-Fi opened up for them. It rained entire time. So they weren't sure if they were going to do it or not. And they ended up starting like an hour and a half, 2 hours late. American Hi-Fi came out and they had their song out, Flavor of the Week. It was a big hit. They came out, they played the one song, and then said we're going to get off stage so Everclear can come out and do their thing.
Play their three songs.
Yeah, whatever.
Come on, man.
But yeah, I thought that was funny that they came out and did the one song, and then, you know, but, you know, it's the way it is when you're doing an outside show. You don't know if you're going to be able to fit it in or not. You just.
I'll tell you two stories about Jillian since we're talking about it. And if anybody doesn't know, Jillian's was a really big venue through some friends of ours in Louisville, Kentucky. And we would have our Derby concert. I mean, I saw Bob Dylan. I saw Willie Nelson. Sugar Ray came out. And what's the guy from Sugar Ray's name?
Mark McGrath
literally ran around the crowd and ran up on the beer table and started giving out beers. And the old ladies that were running the beer, they were like, what are you doing? He's like, it's okay. I'm Sugar Ray. It's one of my funniest things. I had an RV in the back parking lot because I knew I was going to be there for 3 days. But shit. I was at Jillian's one night. What's Will Smith's wife's name? Keep your name out my fucking Jada. Mouth. Jada was playing in her metal band. I can't think of the, I don't care. It doesn't matter. It lasted for a second. She was in her metal band and I'm doing the concert. I got the promotion. I'm doing the stage announcements. I introduced her, Jada Pinkett Smith. That's her name. And so I just walked behind the gate and I'm standing there with my arms crossed and everybody starts going, Oh my God, give me an autograph. Give me an autograph. I'm like, you all know me. What? Oh, shit. That's Will Smith next to me. And Will Smith's like, nope, not about me tonight. It's about my wife. And I went, I got this, Will. And I walked out to the crowd and signed everyone's autograph book, Will Smith. And I walked back and I was like, hey, man, you want a drink? He's like, yeah. I was like, let's go back here. And I went back to the dressing room and had a drink with Will Smith, of all people.
You're full of these. This is the kind of stuff I want to talk about. This,
man, I got, you know, I got stories for days. I know you do. Name a song. I told this to somebody the other day. There's like, I heard you're coming up to Indy. And I was like, give me a subject, give me a town, and I got a story. Name a subject or a town, and I got a story.
Don't put me in a spot like that.
But I'm trying to be easy, man.
Do you have a Creed story?
Yes. Of course I do. So when I got engaged to my wife, her favorite band was Creed. Scott Stapp in particular. I never truly liked that guy. I'm not saying he's not talented, but the rest of the band, Mark Tremonti, can't think of the bass player that got fired at the time. The drummer, Alter Bridge is one of my favorite bands. And that's Creed without Scott Stapp. So I'm at the radio station. I think she was my fiance at the time. She was my fiance at the time. Favorite band's Creed. And I wanted to go. I wanted to shake my head. Like I did with you and Everclear. But I got a front row. And so every time Scott Stapp would come out and do the all, I'm going to back up a little bit. I would just look at my wife and go, she enjoyed herself, but I made fun of her the whole time. And I absolutely love that band without Scott Stapp. Name another one. Come on, I got more. If you got time, I got more.
I got a little bit of time. What about Poison?
I love it when CC DeVille came back. And this is going to be really weird. Look at any Bret Michaels picture, and he does this weird thing with his lips.
Yep.
So his picture looks good, but what he's doing is blowing out the... So every picture of Bret Michaels, you look, he'll be all.
Yeah, it looks like he's blowing something out.
I'm not saying anything either way. It's something he does to make his lips look. If that's what you got to do, man, but it's. Every time. Going, we got time for one more, don't we?
Yeah, we got time for one more. What about Bon Jovi?
The bass player, the original bass player. How do you get kicked out of Bon Jovi? That's like getting kicked out of Guns N' Roses. I can't remember the guy's name. And he wasn't that good of a bass player. And their replacement is much better. And most Bon Jovi fans don't notice it. But how do you get kicked out of Bon Jovi? Or Guns N' Roses? Or Poison? Jesus.
Well, it would definitely take a lot to get kicked out of Poison as a drummer. That's for sure.
Well, Ricky Rockman, let's be honest. It was alleged and not confirmed, and it's absolutely not true that he did the child pornography thing. It was a different Ricky Rockman or Ricky Rocket. They got the name wrong, and everybody thought it was him. And so they kicked him out for about 6 minutes, and they brought him back. It wasn't him.
Let's end on this.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on all the Motley Crue stuff in the news about using the tapes in the background instead of just playing the music? And look, I'm not against having backing.
I am tapes. Against it. I'm against it.
Well, I mean, let me rephrase that. In some instances, for example, you know, if it's some kind of like Van Halen, if they were going to come out and play Jump and they had a backing for the keyboard and didn't have a keyboard on stage, I don't have that big of a deal. Or if it's sound effects, I don't have a big, you know, if it's sound effects, I don't have a problem. I don't think they should be playing a backing tape for vocals or guitar or bass or something like that.
In any way, shape, or form, if you can't be on stage and play your part, get out. And I'll tell you this about the Motley Crue thing. I am 100% Team Mick Mars.
Me too.
I went to the concert and I'm playing air. I got one of my best friends, my bass player, my garage band, his favorite band is Motley Crue. And I can send you the picture if I want to, if you want it. I don't think you do. Where I got him backstage to see them and meet them. And then we got second row for the, I mean, it's his favorite band. And I love Motley Crue too. But I've met Tommy Lee. I've interviewed Nikki Sixx 3 times. It doesn't matter. I'm not just going to do stats. I know these guys. And I've also been in a band.
That's one thing I can always say about you. You never name drop.
Go ahead. Oh, I'll name drop all damn day. That's my thing. But I have never used a DAT. I've never used a tape. If you can't play it live, get the fuck off the stage. I didn't mean to hit the microphone. And I'm 100% Mick Mars. He came back just for the band. He can barely walk. I have met the guy. I have hung out with the guy. I've hung out with Tommy Lee more than once. I've hung out with Nikki Sixx 2 times. Vince Neil. the night Vince Neil and Nikki Sixx met at whatever, it was Mandalay Bay, like in it's in a documentary. I was standing right next to him. Tommy Lee was like, "Hey man, you're the only person that asked me for an didn't ask me for an interview and hadn't come up to me." I was like, "Buddy, I know who you are. I love you. Go do your thing." He was like, "Oh my God, that's the coolest shit I've ever heard." I was like, "Oh my God, Tommy Lee likes me." I was so happy. And we hung out again a couple years later, but Motley Crue said end of the road tour or last tour or whatever you want to call it, retirement tour. And then it did it again. And Mick Mars is the coolest fucking guy in the world. I remember at that row with my buddy, whose favorite band is Motley Crue, was standing there and I'm playing air guitar. And of course I play guitar. So I'm playing air guitar and Mick Mars points at me. And he's like, "Shit, you know how to play this." And I'm like, "Yes, yes, I do." And Mick Mars and I had a night that whole night. I never told anybody about this. I've never said this. Mick Mars and I had a night where he's like, "Can you play this?" And I'm like, "Yes." "Can you play this?" "Yes." And him and I had a night where we're looking at each other the whole night. And then when they said they were going to have a final tour and they didn't have a final tour and he can barely walk. And now they're trying to give him shit and try to reduce him from 25%. It pisses me off and I'm not going to do it. I will never go see another Motley Crue concert without Mick Mars.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, so I said I was going to end on that, but now it reminded me of something else.
Okay, go ahead. I have a problem talking.
What are your thoughts on Josh Freese with the Foo Fighters?
I'm fucking ecstatic about it, and here's why. If you look up Josh Freese and the studio albums he's been on, there's only two people that could have replaced Taylor Hawkins. That's his son and Josh Freese. Have you seen the video of Josh Freese in his audition with the Foo Fighters?
I have not.
Look it up, son, because even Dave Grohl goes, "Holy shit, man." I love Taylor Hawkins. I love the Foo Fighters. I've seen him four times. I can't wait to see the new version. How can the Foo Fighters not keep going?
Right.
They have to, right? Or just quit like Zeppelin? Keep going. His audition, everyone in the band's going, "Oh, shit." Because Taylor Hawkins was great. He was the perfect drummer for the Foo Fighters. I mean, that's the guy from Alanis Morissette that Dave Grohl stole, and she said, "You got to go to the Foo Fighters." And then he did what he did. I don't want to disparage him at all. He did what he did. And they had to find a replacement. And man, if I can say anything on this podcast right now, look up the name Josh Freese and see what albums he's on. And he's the perfect guy for the Foo Fighters. And I cannot wait to go see him.
I figured it was either going to be him or the
Taylor Hawkins' son.
No, I thought it would be Roger Taylor's son from Queen.
Oh, you're talking about Ringo Starr. Roger Taylor is the drummer in Queen. I think you're thinking about the Ringo Starr band and Ringo's son, Roger Starr.
No, Roger Taylor's got a son too that looks just like Roger Taylor. And there were some rumors about 2 or 3 months ago that it would either be him, Josh Freese, or somebody else. I can't remember who the other guy was. But dude,
look up any video of Josh Freese. If I could pay for someone to be on my album, it would be Josh Freese. He's been on 17 albums.
Well, and he was good when he was with A Perfect Circle, too.
Again, you're talking about Tool, not a fan. Fuck that guy. And I mean that. Maynard James Keenan is a fucking asshole. And see, I'm going to say that live on air.
Everything full circle. Comes full perfect circle.
And full circle. Even that's a great ending.
Great ending. Scott, it was fun, brother. This was something that I did not think we were going to be doing tonight. This
I did not think we were going to be doing, but I have everything set up at the farm. I got the big, huge microphone. It looks like George Burns and Jerry Polly. I love you.
I love you too, brother.
Hey, guys. Finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.